Josh Bell hates everything.
That's right, including your movie.
Josh Bell hates everything.
Except me.
Hello and welcome to the Josh Bell Hates Everything podcast. I'm Josh Bell, film editor for Las Vegas Weekly, and joining me this week is Jeffrey K. Howard of VegasFilmCritic.com and Into Film on KCLV Channel 2. Thank you for being here.
Thanks, Josh. Thanks for having me.
Multimedia superstar Jeffrey K. Howard.
I hardly doubt that. And really, thank you so much for all the great... I mean, you should see all the treats available here. They make me feel really at home. All the drinks and...
If you wanted something, you could have just asked. We could stop right now and I can get you something.
I was creating an illusion for your listeners that you have this great stuff here that you...
The green room, right? You were in the green room earlier?
You were at the red carpet and all this incredible stuff and you meet my demands and my contract and everything. Your M&Ms and all that kind of stuff. But no, now you ruined it. So they don't give me. Maybe you showed me where the water fountain is in the hallway.
We're in a closet, in fact. So the podcast has been off actually most of the summer. We had some technical upgrades going on here in the closet. And so we've missed a lot of discussions. So this week, what I wanted to do is look back on the summer. It's basically the end of the summer movie season. And talk about some of the biggest movies of the summer, what were our favorite movies this summer, and maybe a little bit about some of the notable failures. So let's start with the most popular movies of the summer and the biggest box office hit of the summer, and in fact the biggest box office hit of the entirety of 2010 so far, was Toy Story 3. And I have to say I'm pleased that this is the most successful because I enjoyed Toy Story 3. I thought Jeff is shrugging.
It's not that I hated the film, but I didn't come out thinking how good it was. A lot of people have the opinion that that was such a great film, and it was basically the second film all over again. It was the same kind of, you know, setup and all that.
Yeah.
And I always think back about how that's the whole Disney Pixar merger happened. Is that, you know, Disney wanted to do another Toy Story,
right?
And Pixar's like, we have other stories we want to tell, which of course they do, that are remarkable successes.
Yeah.
And Disney goes, we're going to do it without you. It's in our contract. So then they negotiated and bought Pixar and they made another one. And boy, were they right. I mean, I cannot believe how much money this made. And is it a bad film? By no means. But I just don't, I'm just indifferent to it. I mean, I enjoyed it, but, you know, I'm not excited about it like everyone else is.
So. Yeah, I wouldn't say I was super excited about it, but I think given that it's the third movie in a franchise and it clearly could have been this ridiculously cynical, cheap kind of cash-in thing, that was maybe even the road that they were on at one point until they purchased Pixar, that if this movie is going to be made, if we're going to make the third movie in a big franchise, that at least they did well with it. They did right by the characters.
This is Lasseter's baby. There was no way in the world if he had to do a third one, they were going to do it right. And they did do it right.
Yeah.
I mean, it was pretty exciting. It's got some great laughs in it, and the animation, of course, is beyond belief. This is what started it all. So this is their baby. And I guess it's been, 10 years since the last one?
It's been 15 years.
But I mean, that's the first one.
Since the first one,
yeah,
right.
And that's plenty of time for a whole new generation that, you know, make another one that they get to go to the theater and see amazing effects. So I totally understand where everything is coming from this, but I just had no idea it'd be this big of a hit. I thought it'd be just moderately well.
Right. I think Pixar, I mean, almost everything they make is huge. And this is obviously the thing that, of all the Pixar movies, this is the one I think probably people are most excited about. I mean, they're doing a bunch of sequels now. I think there's a Monsters, Inc. sequel coming up, and maybe Incredibles or Finding Nemo or something. And I'm sure those will do well. But I think Toy Story is the one that means the most to people.
And now they're corporate. So now they have to think, you know, sequel, you know, make money. Franchise, that's the big thing.
But I mean, I think at the same time, if we're going to get franchises, we're going to get sequels, I'd rather see these guys working on it who really will take care with it and make sure to tell a good story.
And give us Incredibles. That's my favorite one. That's the best one. Get Brad Bird out of there and you know, get some more Incredibles.
Right. Well, I think Brad Bird has moved on to doing, isn't he directing Mission Impossible 4?
Yeah, he's doing live action.
Yeah, so they'll get someone else.
Great
but it
guy.
Still could be good. Yeah,
it could be. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt, but you know. But Toy Story 3, while it was an excellent film, it didn't even make my top list, you know.
Yeah, so. Of the summer?
Yeah. It just didn't. I mean,
really?
It didn't.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't watch it again, probably.
Yeah, I know. I liked it more than you did, and I think I would have put it among my favorite of the summer, although I agree that it's not.
It might have been the 3D that I didn't like it as much.
I'm really
getting against 3D.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a fan of 3D either.
And all these screens are showing us now, 3D, 3D, 3D.
Right,
I mean, even Harry Potter, I saw the trailer for it in the theater.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be in 3D.
I would go out of my way to see it in 2D.
Yeah.
You know, to see it. But, you know, all the screens they show us now, they're just pushing it big time.
Right.
You know, and I really I get headaches. I remember watching Toy Story 3 and go, this is ridiculous. What are we wearing these for?
Yeah.
There's nothing coming at me. Something at the end of the film when they're in the garbage, just, you know, garbage dump, maybe some cool effects in there. But does that warrant the entire time I'm wearing these awful glasses that kind of get rid of the colors?
They dim the picture. And
exactly.
I mean, I think that's maybe one of the big things of this summer, too, is that 3D has really come to dominate. Although of the top five money-making movies of the summer, only two of them were in 3D. So it's not necessarily the complete dominant format, but we saw so many 3D movies this summer.
There is a backlash I've been reading, too.
Yeah.
You know, consumers, you know, we don't pay for movies, you know,
right.
But I do pay for some lately this summer. I've been doing it. And I didn't know you paid, what, $20 for a ticket?
Well, not in Vegas, but in some cities.
Even that's outrageous, you know, because I don't see the added value. I really don't.
Right.
But for the bottom line, the studios are making a fortune. You know,
oh,
they retrofit their movies in production right now, all of this stuff. But I just, you know, people don't do it. It's not worth it. Unless it's something like Avatar, which I think is being re-released this week.
Yeah, it's coming out with nine extra minutes of footage.
Right, and the new Resident Evil, which was using the same technology that Cameron used.
Well, you know, and in that Resident Evil trailer, all it is things flying at you. It looks like an entire movie of things that fly at you.
Exactly, but since it's the same cameras that Cameron used for Avatar, it should be pretty cool because everything else has been adapted or retrofitted and it's not shot, you know, with the cameras in mind.
Right.
And Resident Evil is being touted as the second one after Avatar,
yeah.
So that should be pretty cool. But, you know, I think it was 3D. I'll watch Toy Story 3 again when it comes out.
Yeah, it might be almost to watch it at home, you know, in a sort of comfort with your family or something like that. It's a nice communal experience. So I enjoyed Toy Story 3. And the second biggest moneymaker of the summer, which was the sort of the first movie of the summer, the kickoff, was Iron Man 2, which I also enjoyed, which was another sequel that I thought was competently made. It wasn't spectacular.
Favreau, yeah, very, very capable.
Yeah.
I love the character. I love the technology. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It was just as good as the first one, I thought.
I like the first one a little better.
Well, the original is always better. But, I mean, it's comparable. It is.
Yeah, it was fun. It was entertaining.
They didn't jump the shark.
They didn't. They didn't. I mean, they did a good job. I thought it was a little overstuffed with maybe too many characters and too many subplots or whatever. They're trying to do too much. And
the finale was a little bit over the top, I thought.
So, I liked the finale.
I felt
that was the best part when it was finally like it. Because the middle, I thought, dragged a lot with the whole Tony is off the wagon kind of subplot.
Yeah, you throw him out of the company and all that. And then you had Sam Rockwell as the evil competitor.
When are they going to get to some superhero action? When are they going to start wailing on the villains? So, yeah, I mean, and it has the obligation to set up these future superhero movies, the Thor movie and the Avengers and all this stuff that's coming down the road in a year or two.
Yeah, all the studios, stay for the credits. And you're like, well, what's going to happen here?
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah.
Good choice. I like Iron Man 2.
Yeah, it's again, I mean, I think I'm pleased to see these as the bigger money makers because they're quality. They're examples of a way to make a big blockbuster type movie with integrity and with care and creativity, and I appreciate that. On the other hand, the third biggest moneymaker of the summer was the Twilight Saga Eclipse, the third film in the Twilight Saga.
Which had more action at this time.
That's true. It did. Yes. I will say that I thought this was the best of the Twilight movies.
Yes, I would agree. If you had to make such a statement, I would agree. But you know what? Since I'm not a 12-year-old girl, I don't understand these movies.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that there are legions of fans out there, that it's a phenomenon. Because I know when I was a kid, the Star Wars movies were that for me.
Yeah.
And now the Harry Potter films are for another generation. And that's fine. I love when people embrace something that they love. And it doesn't matter what I think. But as a critic...
Well, it matters something
what
you
I'm
think.
Just saying that there's this passion for movies. So it's like, you know, I could be talking to the wall and most people are going to go,
right.
You know... They don't care,
right,
you know,
right.
But when you look at them as films, I don't think 10, 15, 20 years from now, they're going to be these classics. I think they're just going to be forgotten.
Right.
Because it's a whole, you know, coming of age kind of thing right now that are people going crazy over.
I mean, I think that's the thing is that, like, it's great that people get passionate about something and there's fandom or whatever. But some of these franchises, I mean, I think compared to, like, the Harry Potter franchise, there's so much more filmmaking skill going into those Harry Potter
films.
And storytelling. And acting.
Yeah.
And just overall, the level of quality is so much higher. And I think that's the problem. It's like, yes, it's great that people get excited about something. I hope if they stand in line for Twilight forever that maybe they'll actually come back to the theater the next week and see another movie.
Yeah, and I haven't read the books. Hopefully the books are a little more in-depth than the movies are.
I read the first book,
you?
And I actually prefer the movies.
Really? Oh, okay.
Well, because the books are so horribly written, and they're just overwrought.
Really?
And yeah, I mean,
I read one Harry Potter book and I could not put it down.
Right.
Such description, such imagination. And even the movies are great, but it didn't come close to what the book was in my hand.
Well, Yeah, I mean, I read the first Harry Potter book and I enjoyed that, but the Twilight book
didn't happen, huh?
No,
so that's what I'm talking about. Is that especially the acting? I want to pull the rest of my hair out. You know?
Right.
And if you notice, Kristen Stewart, she didn't have that tick that she has where she, you know, she's always putting her hair behind her ear. She did it once in the movie, and I was waiting for that because she has this one acting style. I really have trouble with the actors in the movie because they're really terrible.
Some of them. I think Kristen Stewart is good in other movies, and I just feel like this character is such a
the
wet
Runaways.
Blanket.
She's wonderful.
She's good. She was great in Adventureland. I mean, I think she has a lot more range than people give her credit for.
Right, but laying in a meadow, field with all these posies with a glowing vampire in the daytime. It's just, I want to shoot myself.
Yes.
I really do.
No, I agree. And Taylor Lautner is definitely one of the worst actors to continue to get work in Hollywood. And I'm sure I hope his career is going to flame out soon because I really don't want to sit through many, many Taylor Lautner movies over the next 10 years. But
well, I don't know. If I was him, I'd make, they're making the final films, the big payday. I'd just take a vacation.
Oh, yes. He's doing the opposite. He's taking every job that's offered to him because he's going to capitalize on
work,
it while
work,
he can.
Work. Don't be stereotyped, but whatever, Twilight. I can forget about it.
Whatever, Twilight. So, the fourth biggest moneymaker of the summer was definitely one of my favorite movies of the summer, and I think for a lot of people, and is the only movie on this list that is not a franchise entry, which was Inception, Christopher Nolan's epic, mind-bending dream thing.
Extravaganza.
Yes, exactly.
Very secretive film, scripts, delivered to the actors, they read, they were picked up, messengers waited. Such great, mystique around the movie, and he's one of the most incredible filmmakers, that's around right now, along with David Fincher. He reminds me so much of him, because I'm a Panic Room fan, and Fight Club, and The Game. I mean, he has the exact same style, the exact same storytelling, but I was blown away by that. I was blown away by Inception, and I can't wait to see it again. I only saw it once, and it's a movie that demands multiple viewings just to know what in the world is going on, and it renewed my faith in DiCaprio, because I just think he's just made it some of the worst movies lately with horrible Shutter Island, and some of these other films are just terrible, and now he kind of took the reins again and showed that he is a movie star. He can act.
Oh, yeah. And I don't think he was bad in Shutter Island. I mean,
I with a phony. Oh, I don't want to talk
Boston.
About it.
Yeah. Okay. Obviously, I like that movie more than Shutter you did. Yeah.
And trust me, I've watched it once or twice again and just on pay-per-view. Just
to be sure that you hate it.
Can't get through the first 30 minutes, man. It's just terrible. It's just terrible.
Well, I agree that I mean, I liked Inception a lot, and I think it was definitely better than Shutter Island, and DiCaprio did a good job. I mean, all the actors, Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Ellen Page and Marion Cotillard. I mean, the whole cast is really, really strong, and Nolan is an incredibly skilled filmmaker. I think I like this movie maybe a little less than some people did, because I felt like as intricately crafted as it was and as involved as I was in the plot, I felt like the emotional core of it was a little lacking. The whole dynamic between DiCaprio
being driven was him and his wife.
Right.
And it just got a little tedious after a while. You're like, okay, we know what's going on, but they kept coming back to it, and it just became, I thought it slowed down the story eventually.
Yeah. I mean, I just didn't feel it. I think you have to really be swept up in the idea of this tragic love story between these two, and it just felt cold to me. And I think that's
stayed more on the action about the job at hand than trying to make, I know what he was trying to do, but it should have been more about getting in those different levels, getting the suggestion planted in there and getting out, because that takes up enough time right there. But he had to put in some sort of tortured hero kind of thing,
So. I mean, I think Nolan is really good at that sort of puzzle box crafting, and he's less good at the emotional beats. I mean, I never bought any of the big emotional moments in the Batman movies.
Right.
And I mean, I think going back to Memento, there was some of it. But
love Memento.
But overall, I love Memento too.
Yeah. I think Guy Pearce is one of the greatest actors
really?
Of the generation. Love him.
Wow.
One of my top actors of all time. Love him.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, but Memento is great. I love The Prestige. I mean, I think Nolan is incredibly talented, but I think this is maybe his weaker area, and hinging so much of the movie on that story was
negligible,
a bit of a mistake.
Though. Yeah,
it did. I mean, I still, like I said, still enjoyed it. I still am impressed with it. And again, I really appreciate that it's an original story. It's not based on something else. It's not a sequel to something. It's just a good movie based on a good idea that this talented, creative guy had. And I appreciate that. And then to go out on a low note, the fifth, the number five moneymaker of the summer was Shrek Forever After.
Yes, which I didn't see.
Oh, which you didn't see. Okay,
didn't want to.
Good work, Jeff.
I don't know what it is.
Smart choice.
Past the first Shrek, I mean, the second one was tolerable, but you know what? Enough. you know? And they keep making money. Is it wrong? I just didn't want to go.
It is wrong that they keep making money.
You know, I know I'm a critic, but this is one of those movies where someone's like, hey, how was that latest Shrek? No one's ever said that to me the whole summer, okay?
Yeah.
No one. Or they come up to me and say, oh, I love Toy Story 3. Didn't you like it? And I'm like, yeah, I did see that. I would see Toy. But you know what? I just didn't see it. I just didn't want to.
No.
And I saw the trailer.
I didn't want to see it either. But.
You know, I know. It's just that I had the luxury of not seeing it.
Right.
And I'm still breathing.
Yes. So. I mean, and I think you're right, though, that is one that of all of these five, that's one that doesn't seem like anybody was talking about, that people maybe went to see almost out of obligation, like,
of course it is.
The Shrek movie, we'll go see that.
Family films are huge.
Nobody was excited about
this
movie.
You're promoting Shrek, and then of course the toxic glasses of McDonald's helped with the publicity,
Right.
And it's just like everybody went to go see it. It was a tentpole film. It was the beginning of the summer. Kids are out of school. Families are looking for something to do.
Right.
Hey, a new Shrek, it's built in. So it was a no-brainer.
No, but nobody was excited about it. Nobody came out of it saying like, wow, I think – I've heard more people talk about Despicable Me, which was less successful.
Very funny. Yeah.
But,
very successful. I mean, a lot of people are buzzing.
A lot
about
of people
that.
Were really interested in, whereas this one, I think nobody cared. And we don't care either, so we might as well just move on.
Thank you. I get sick thinking about it.
No, I don't blame you. So let's talk about, we've sort of touched on it a little with the bigger movies, but what were the best movies this summer? So what is your pick, Jeff, for the best movie of the summer?
Well, without going through my entire list here, it says, my favorite film of the year is kind of a surprise, and I think it's one of the best scripts of the year, is The Kids Are All Right.
Yeah.
I just absolutely love this film.
Yeah.
It is so well crafted, so well acted, and there's so many layers to the film, and it just, it's almost a perfect film in my opinion. I really, really enjoyed it because it kept going in directions I didn't know, I couldn't take. So, for the critic in me, that was my favorite film of the summer.
Yeah.
But I also, I love The A-Team. And if I had to, I know, if I had to pick my summer blockbuster of the, it was so, so funny.
Yeah.
I love the casting in it and the action was out of this world. Uh-huh. I mean, I love The A-Team. I cannot wait to see it again. I really can. So I love A-Team as my favorite action film of the summer. My favorite film of the summer is The Kids Are All Right.
Yeah.
So, and also, no one likes The Last Airbender. I just really...
You were so wrong about that.
I need to see it again, I guess. But you know what? I came out of that. I'm a fan of the cartoon. I really liked it. And I know people came out hating it.
I know we
saw each other in the lobby and you were just like...
I was amazed.
You had
that
an air sickness bag or something.
Yes.
In your hand. I don't understand that. And I'm also an action film fan. So Salt, I thought, was very well done because I'm a Bourne Identity fanatic.
Yeah, yeah.
And, I'm Generation X. So it was good to see a Cold War theme back, the Russians are our enemy again because I haven't seen that. It's always, Islamic terrorists now. And it's just, I think it's old. So I like the old throwback to the 80s and the 70s. So I thought that was very well acted too. So, and did you like Scott Pilgrim versus the World?
I love Scott Pilgrim, actually.
Talk about original.
Yeah.
I mean, that was so creative.
Yes.
And everyone who saw that loved it.
Right. So, but nobody saw it. It's a huge failure.
Where was the publicity for this movie?
Well, I think the thing about this movie, and this is just speculation, but they publicized it really heavily to the sort of...
Like gamers, maybe?
The video game community, people who are into video games, people who are into comic books. They did a huge push for it at Comic-Con. They did tons and tons of advanced screenings. And a lot of people online were talking about, everyone who wanted to see this got to see it for free beforehand. Hmm. But I think that can't be entirely it. Because
I thought it was going to be the sleeper hit of the summer, and it just went fizzled.
It should have been. And
it
think people that I know who went to see it who are not, quote unquote geeks, who are not into video games or comic books or anything, enjoyed it. I mean, I think this is the kind of movie, and I'm not a video game fan. I do read comics, but I'm not a video game player at all. And I think there are maybe certain references in the movie that you might miss.
There's tons of jokes that I didn't get, that someone sitting next to me played Zelda once upon a time.
Right.
He started laughing because, that's this and this. He got it.
Right.
So there's a lot of great little inside jokes and there was a lot going by that I didn't get, but I still appreciate
it. But even so, I think even if you miss some of that stuff, the core of the movie, which is it's a romantic comedy, it's easily identifiable, I think, to anyone of any age.
It's got its own style.
It's incredibly creative. It's very funny.
Nothing status quo about this movie.
Yeah.
It's every scene, it was like, wow, what are they doing? He was moving the camera, the special effects. It was always a constant surprise.
Yeah.
And that's what I thought. It mixed very well. It did. And I loved it. I really did. I loved
it too, and I really did. As much as I'm happy that Inception made so much money, and I think, like, wow, that's the kind of movie I'd like to see. I wish Scott Pilgrim were there, too, because those are the two movies this summer that I felt like, this is what I would like to see out of Hollywood movies. This is what I would like to see mainstream movies
and
do.
And Scott Pilgrim had some mature themes in it. His, you know, his gay roommate, and there was, like, because you bring little kids to this movie, and you think, but there was also, like, some adult subject matter in the movie. So it had this cool hipness to it that definitely appealed to, like, high school kids and older.
Right.
You know, but then it also, it was marketed, though, it looks like it for younger kids, you know, because...
Yeah, and it really wasn't. And I think, you know, it's absolutely a movie that, you know, that adults could go see. Mm-hmm. That I think the themes of it, aside from the references and aside from the style, the basic theme of the relationship where the other person has baggage and it's tough to let go of your past and things like that. I mean, those are universal. Anyone can identify with those things.
Right.
So, yeah, I wish more people would go see it. And maybe when it comes out on video, people who missed it in theaters will discover it. I hope that's the case. I think it could actually become
a cult classic.
Yeah,
bet it will.
Yeah. So yeah, that was definitely one of my favorites. And in terms of mainstream films, that Inception, and I did really enjoy Toy Story 3. And there were a lot. But you mentioned Kids Are All Right, which I liked a lot.
I found one film this summer that just spoke to me as a critic, as a film fan. And then also, you know, because we have a summer of just action overload.
Yes.
And we need something to save us. And I thought that movie came right out. And also Get Low with Robert Duvall. I really like that.
That was good. Duvall was really good in that.
That was excellent. And then, of course, Middlemen, which is in limited release. I know that's like Boogie Nights. You know, it's the same kind of stuff.
Right, which I haven't seen.
You got to go see it. We got to talk about it next time. Because I think you really like it. You know, even though it's going to be limited release, you better hurry. I don't think it's going to stick around.
Yeah, that's a small release that opens in Vegas this Friday.
Can I mention the crap films too? You know, we have time for that.
Yeah. We have time, please. You know, you want to get to the craft. You want to tear some stuff apart.
I can go on record how horrible my summer has been.
Yeah,
so. Grown-ups. I hate it.
Yes, Grown-ups was
absolutely
awful, yes.
The worst. Jonah Hex, you know what? I want to love this movie so much because it's got two of my favorite things, Westerns and the Supernatural.
Right.
But it just was so poorly done.
It was a real mess.
It was like Wild Wild West with Will Smith, that crappy... They spent way too much money on this movie. You know, it could have been done as a low budget film. They did. It was terrible. I mean, I'm going to give it a second chance, but I know it's horrible.
I don't think it deserves a second chance.
Prince of Persia. What a garbage that was.
Yeah.
And MacGruber. Oh, you know, I saw it again on pay-per-view recently because I was in a hotel with some friends. We were having a party.
Yeah.
And I turned it on. Just as bad the second time. And I watched the whole thing. There was one or two laughs, but MacGruber was terrible.
Yeah.
And then one I saw that I paid for last weekend, I saw Piranha 3D.
Oh, I see. I liked Piranha 3D.
It was all wrong. They should not have concentrated on Jerry O'Connell's character and the boat. It should have been the sheriff. That was the main character. Did you realize that she was just in the background?
Well, she did a lot of stuff.
Not really.
She did a lot of stuff.
She was there, get out of the water and all that kind of stuff. And, hey, kids, you stay out. You know, stay home. I got to go take care of the spring break kids. But the whole movie took place with Jerry O'Connell and doing the stupid porn shoot and sitting on
that boat. It was about the kid, the sheriff's son.
He should have been the focus. Yeah. It should have been the sheriff as the main character handling some of the stuff going on. And that should have been the secondary story. And Jerry O'Connell, who's he's a lot of fun, but what an obnoxious character in that movie.
Well, I mean, I thought that was the point. The guy was supposed to be obnoxious. I thought he was fun. I mean, I wouldn't ever argue that that was a great movie because it certainly wasn't.
But in terms of a horror film,
I was entertained by it.
Oh, it was so out of whack. It was just not any kind of linear to it. It was all over the place. It couldn't focus on what it wanted to be. The special effects were definitely not worth 3D. The redeeming quality of it is that Richard Dreyfuss reprised Matt Hooper at the beginning, you know, from
Jaws.
Right,
that was clever.
Was cute.
Yeah.
He shouldn't have sang the song and say Fast Fish and quote the movie. That was too much. And then, of course, you've got Christopher Lloyd.
He was great. Christopher Lloyd was great. That's a good impression.
Well, thank you. And he cracked me up, too. This fish should have died millions of years ago, you know, and that was cracking me up. That was funny.
Yeah, he was entered. I would have loved
That's
to see more Christopher Lloyd.
About.
Yeah,
he should have been on the boat. He should have been everywhere you turn. Yes. We have to kill these fish. The guy who came from the seismic whatever, he was barely in it. Remember that kid?
Adam Scott. Yeah.
Horrible.
Yeah. No, I mean, I would have loved to see more Christopher Lloyd. It could have been better, but I thought for what it was trying to be,
structure.
I was entertained by it.
Poorly organized.
And as far as movies go in 3D, the cheesiness of it was perfect for the 3D.
Got really graphic, too.
It was really graphic,
eaten alive and cut in half.
It should be. I mean, if you're going to make a piranha horror movie, it should be graphic.
Well, they're making the sequel already.
So. Yeah, and I'll go see it, and I'll probably
I have to. But I still hate it.
Yeah, well, that's fair enough.
I'm disappointed because, you know, I love those kind of films.
Yes.
Terrible.
Yes.
And I saw it with some diehard fans and we all couldn't stand
it. Everyone hated it? Yeah.
We all came out going, man, there was more problems than fun. the gore factor was through the roof.
Right. It was.
Which,
but
which
I
you had
that's
to do.
Okay.
Because if you didn't have that, then I would have burned
and
it.
And I mean, that director, Alexander Asia, I mean, he makes all these horror movies with that. He's all about the gore. And yeah. I think a lot of his movies are not so good. But this movie did what it was trying to do, I thought.
Right.
And
well,
I appreciated
82%
that.
82% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, it's gotten good reviews.
I don't know.
Some people have been a little too overboard on it, I think. But I enjoyed it well enough. Yeah. But some of the movies that you mentioned there were some of the biggest failures of the summer. So that's good in a way. Something like Jonah Hex was a huge flop.
I paid for that too. This is the summer of me paying for movies, which I haven't done in 15
paying
years.
Paying for terrible movies.
Well,
yeah.
It's because, you know what? There's just something. I mean, you know me. I like bad movies sometimes. And I like, you know, for some reason or another. And I thought maybe some of these, there's been, you know, a lot of bad buzz on them and they didn't screen them for us. And
but
I
you
thought,
never know.
No, I know now. Yeah. This is every choice was the right one. They were bad. And they took my money. But, you know, so I can see now how people can get upset when you see a bad movie like that because it brought back all kind of bad memories. That to shell out money for this movie. But Jonah Hex, man, I'm going to go to my grave not understanding why that didn't work. It was almost like a Constantine Western.
I mean, I think that movie had so many people with conflicting agendas on what they wanted to make
wasn't
it. I mean,
focused.
The script by the guys who made the Crank movies, and they were originally supposed to direct, and then they dropped out, but they're still using their script, and that director who came in eventually got replaced for like reshoots. I mean, it's obvious that there were just so many clashes that what ends up on the screen is like the visions of 10 different people. And that's never a way to make a good movie.
And John Malkovich was the worst villain. He was just absolutely the worst. And it's funny, have you seen this pattern? You've got all these classic actors, like it's almost like, you know, like Joan Crawford and all these people like in the 70s and late 60s coming out of retirement to make these schlock films because, I don't know, because there's a paycheck attached to it.
Well,
so then you got John Malkovich.
I think John Malkovich really enjoys schlock. I think he seems to really get some enjoyment out of it.
He's not
those
doing
films.
Some sort of period piece from the 1700s. He's playing
you know, some ridiculous villain.
Character.
So
Jonah Hex, what a disappointment.
Jonah Hex was awful. I think we've spent far too much time discussing.
I'll still watch it again, though. I'm gonna buy it.
Wow, that is masochism. That is masochism.
I'm gonna love it if it kills me.
All right. that's a look at the summer. Overall,
crap.
But some good stuff.
Forgettable.
Yeah.
Before I came on today, I went through the entire release list of the summer, and trust me, I had trouble finding, you know, films. And I thought, wow, we've seen so many films this summer.
And so many of them were bad.
And not even worth mentioning, like the other guys with Will Ferrell. They were adequate, and I laughed enough to where it's not the worst film. But just overall, it's like there was nothing but maybe two or three films that
were worth remembering, seeing,
As a movie fan.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's
but there's always the fall.
There you go. All the prestige pictures, the Oscar bait.
The best time of the year finally has arrived.
We'll look forward to checking that stuff out. And my thanks to Jeffrey K. Howard for joining me this week.
Thanks for having me.
And for Las Vegas Weekly, I'm Josh Bell.
Josh Bell hates everything.
That's right, including your movie.
Josh Bell hates everything.
Except me.